Welcome to the Talk with Tori podcast. I'm your host, Tori Jones, and I'm so glad that you're here. It's time to have some fun. On each episode, I will chat with a friend and we will share random life topics, tips and tricks, fun stories, and more serious stories filled with some real talk to make you laugh, maybe cry, make you think, but most of all, bring a smile to your face. We all have a story to share, so I hope you enjoyed this one. So grab your favorite Starbucks, a glass of wine, water, I don't care, you do you, girl, because it's time to peel back the layers and add a little spice to it. We're live! What's up?
Hey, Talk with Tori.
Hello there, Tori Close.
Hey!
Jones.
I know, Tori Close Jones. Everyone still thinks they keep forgetting my name's Tori Jones. Everyone just says Tori Close Jones. So I'm like, I answer to anything. People have called me a lot of things in my day. So I'm like, whatever. But I'm so glad y'all are here. Y'all, we're going to have kind of a different episode today. We're going to answer some of y'all's questions, a little Q&A, because it's stuff people need to know. It's the world we're living in, and it's going to change some lives. So I want to tell y'all who's here today. We actually first have my dad, Dr. Ben Close. I'll say doctor because you're coming as a professional today. And we have Dr. Gerald Foray. He was actually my neighbor growing up. How many doors down did you live? Like four doors down, maybe?
Yeah, three and a half, four. You know, you were the little kid on the street. You've grown up a little bit, obviously.
Yeah, so we have, had a lot of memories together. We all sat together at LSU games and traveled and did a lot of things. And so I'm going to let y'all kind of introduce yourselves and tell everybody, you know, what your career has been, what you do, what your background is, what you're currently doing, and any personal things going on in your life you want to share with everybody, just let us know. Okay, Dad, we can start with you.
Okay. I'm better known as Tori's dad. Close. And I'm an allergist immunologist in Alexandria, Louisiana, which is central, where Tori grew up. I went to LSU for college. I went to LSU for med school in Shreveport. I did my fellowship in New Orleans at Tulane, and right when I started my fellowship, Tori Close Jones was born in New Orleans.
So
New
Orleans, and I rocked your world.
You did. And a funny story about Tori, when she was born, we didn't know the sex of our babies. We just were going to be surprised. And so Tori's mother was having a baby with C-section. And so we had one of these New Orleans boys, so to speak, as her OBGYN. And so he looks at Tori and we don't know what she is. And he goes, "Oh my goodness." And we said, "What?" He said, "It's a malignant money sucking tumor."
Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed.
Anyway, but we love
When I go home, I still am like, "Dad, do you want to go shopping? Or do you want to go do this? Or do you want to go do this?" And he's always like, "Yeah."
And he stick the camera in my face.
Oh, yeah. I like to film him on Instagram. I've probably seen it. Yeah, I'd like to go to Starbucks. Okay. Well, thanks for telling us your background. You cut out a little bit. So will you tell them where you did your residency you did in Memphis?
I did my residency in Memphis in internal medicine.
Yes.
And you had to do that before you did a fellowship in allergy, which I did at Tulane.
Perfect. So, okay, Dr. Gerald, give us kind of your background, anything about you that you kind of want to share with all the listeners.
So, I'm a Louisiana guy as well. I went to LSU undergraduate in Baton Rouge, and I did LSU med school in New Orleans. I didn't do the Texas branch like Ben did in Shreveport. I ended up doing internal medicine in Little Rock at the University of Arkansas for medical sciences, and came back to Alexandria where I met this guy named Ben Close and eventually met Tori Close Jones. And Ben and I became really good colleagues and wonderful friends and shared passions of mountain biking and I don't know, conversation about whatever, and we in LSU football, of course. So you know, to this day we still hang, and unfortunately Ben has gotten better than me as time goes on. Mountain biking, I can't keep up with him anymore. And that's really devastating to me, but I'll probably get over it. So
COVID's really changed the world and all of our lives. And I want y'all to just tell us more about the virus and the severity. The reason we're doing this podcast, y'all, is because, you know, there have been a lot of questions and concerns about the virus, about false information, about true information. And with the vaccine and making decisions on that, we thought it would be really good to inform people. So will y'all just tell us more about the virus, the severity, what you've seen, and why people do need to take this seriously?
My role is actually, I'm a hospitalist. And let me just take a second to explain that, because not everybody knows exactly what that is. So these days, most people have a family doctor, but a lot of the family doctors no longer go to the hospital. So if somebody gets sick enough to go to the hospital, and people like me are the guys that take care of those people. So consequently, part of my role since March has been to take care of COVID patients in the hospital. What can I tell you about this disease? I think it is, first of all, it's real for people who, for whatever reason, think that certain news networks have made it up or whatever. It's not a political disease. It affects people of all races, all ages, certainly older people less so than younger people, but we have seen young people get very ill with it. And it is the real thing. It's a true pandemic. The first one in this country in a long time. And what else can I tell you about it?
I think that's perfect. And so, y'all, fun fact about Dr. Gerald, he was on the cover of National Geographic for COVID. And we're going to post the picture so y'all can all see it. And it was one of the top five best photos of the year.
You know, what I would say to that, to be honest with you, is that was luck. Okay. I went to work one day and somebody said, and I was at a small hospital in Louisiana, 40 bed hospital. And somebody said, we have a photographer, Nat Geo here. Do you mind if he follows you? And I said, sure, why not? And somehow he snapped a picture of me that made the cover. It's, you know, what I hope it is a reflection, not so much of me, but a reflection of the healthcare workers and how they have responded to this crisis. I mean, I was at a small hospital. I was not one of those guys in New York City or in Italy or whatever, where people were dying right, left, and sideways day after day and going through that kind of experience. So,
well, thanks for sharing that. Well, congratulations. Big deal. Even though it was luck, it's awesome. I just told them that one of Josh's, my husband's, his coworker has that in his office to remind him of the pandemic. So it's pretty amazing. But Dad, is there anything else that you kind of want to share with that?
No, and I think Dr. Foray has certainly said it well, that, you know, he's on the front lines with this, and this is a real disease. And this is something that affects families, that has devastated families, that has devastated our economy. It certainly paralyzed our healthcare system to a certain degree, where we're not able to take care of other chronic diseases. So, and it's certainly something where people on the front lines, like Dr. Foray and his nurses, and even people who would assist in cleaning the rooms and bring food, really put themselves at a lot of risk for this. And we'll kind of talk about that a little bit more in a few minutes. But again, I appreciate what you do for it. It's a good thing, front line. So.
Yes, thank y'all both. Because y'all are the true heroes, putting yourself at risk every single day. And it's definitely a very, very scary time to be alive and to be in healthcare, and every decision you make, I feel like it's like I'm rolling a dice. It's like, is that really worth doing? And all of those things. So we do appreciate it. And I appreciate y'all being here and being open and sharing and helping people along the way. So let's talk about the vaccine. I think that's the big thing right now. I mean, to me, it's a true Christmas miracle that we have this vaccine. It's amazing. And I can't wait to get mine. I haven't had the opportunity yet, but I'm hoping really soon. And so the vaccine's now available to certain populations, and it's giving hope for a better future. I feel like this is the answer that we've all been praying for and hoping for. But there's also a lot of concern that comes with the vaccine. There's a lot of people that have said they don't want to get it. They're scared. They're fearful. So first, will you share more about what the vaccine does, what the vaccine is, how it works, why it's effective, and kind of just break it down in more simpler terms for, you know, the people like me that don't know what all these little dinks mean. So just breaking it down for somebody to really understand what this vaccine does.
I think that's a Dr. Close answer.
You want me to take that first for you? Fill in the blank. Okay.
Yeah, bail me out. Take it.
No. Well, a vaccine is something that everybody probably listening to this podcast has received, whether you've had a tetanus shot or a flu shot or your kids' immunizations. And really what a vaccine does is fool the immune system from responding in an abnormal way to something that responds in a normal or protected way. So that's what we're kind of after with any vaccine, especially this. Now, this vaccine is made using messenger. The two vaccines that have been approved are made by messenger RNA technology. And what that does is that they put that in a lipid envelope and then certainly make a vaccine. And when it's injected, it enters the cell. And when it enters the cell, it then instructs our cells to make something called a spike protein. You know, and all that is, it's a structure on a cell that the immune system can respond to. In other words, it says, oh, this looks like COVID. And it initially makes antibodies against it. But what a vaccine does, it does two things. It makes the immune response, but it also primes it. Okay, so it makes it, you get all the antibodies ready, and then it makes it through other things ready to work.
Yep.
Okay. So not only does it bring the immune system in, it helps it work well. Okay. So that's why it's important to get the vaccine. And it's also important, even though you get a pretty good bit of protection in one dose, that's why you need the second dose to remind that. So the vaccine is important because we think it elicits a better immunity and a longer lasting immunity. That'll be different in different people, but we think it could be a year longer, you know, with the vaccine.
So, Dad, you did have COVID-19 and you did recover. So you actually have already had it. Dr. Gerald, you've already had the vaccine, and my dad's getting it next week. He's on the list to get it next week. So he's going to be getting it. And so will you tell us any of your reactions from the vaccine? I see you're still alive. So let us know. Let us know if you had any reactions or what reactions people could expect and why there might be some reactions from the vaccine.
Okay, so I had my first dose, I guess 22 days ago. I had my second dose yesterday. So I have completed the two-dose process.
You're fresh.
Yeah, I've completed the two-dose process. I would say, after the first dose, for 24 hours, I had a very mild, almost unnoticeable soreness at the site of injection. I have had absolutely no side effects moving on with the second dose. At no time did I have fever, weakness, malaise, muscle aches, anything like that, although those things have been reported as possibilities. You know, I am an advocate. I am an unabashed advocate of people getting this vaccine.
Me too.
Yeah.
I'm not a medical professional and I'm all about the vaccine. But I get every vaccine. And so, I do know, and I do tell people a lot. I say, you know, it is normal to be nervous about something new. It is normal, and that's okay to be fearful, but that's why we're doing this podcast, because we want you to feel more comfortable with the vaccine and what the vaccine can do and feel more confident in getting that. So now I just wanted to kind of have y'all have a little Q&A. So I asked our listeners, you know, if they had questions about the vaccine and COVID-19 or anything like that. So I'm going to just ask y'all some questions and y'all feed off of it, and we'll kind of see where we go from there. I actually got a ton of questions, and so I put a lot of them together. And anything that y'all also think we should address that you found that, I know one thing that I found has been really cool is my dad has said that patients have made appointments with him just to talk about the vaccine. And I think that's great. Like, have that conversation. So anything y'all have noticed that your patients have been concerned about, definitely let us know. So first question, is the vaccine safe?
Yes. And I'll say yes, 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 yes. Now, I think Dr. Foray explained that the main reactions are sight, soreness, which really is with any vaccine. With that, I'm glad to hear with the second vaccine that you really didn't have anything. That's really a good thing. And I think the listeners need to know that is the common scenario. With yes. What you just said is the common scenario. I think a lot of people, and what we hope doesn't happen, it's very common to almost have a little mild flu-like illness symptom or symptoms suggestive of that, like a little achiness and a little low-grade fever and a little fatigue. It's usually very, very mild and goes away within about a day. And that can happen, what do you think, 10, 15% reported is what I kind of heard, but with that, but that's not unusual. Now, do you want to go into reactions, like allergic reactions?
A lot of people had questions. Okay. A lot of people had specific questions about reactions and if they had certain allergies like gluten or different allergies. Me, myself, my dad's actually my personal allergist. I have how many allergies? More than a lot of people. It's unreal. And so as someone that's had a lot of allergies, I think people are worried about if they have allergies, what their potential reactions could be.
Well, according to our organization, the American College of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology, and American Academy, they think they made a point to say everyone should receive the vaccine. Now, if someone's had a reaction to a vaccine, they still recommend that, but they also recommend extending the waiting period to about 30 minutes. We don't know. There was a couple of people in the United Kingdom that had an allergic reaction to the vaccine. Both of those, they were healthcare providers, had multiple drug allergies. So that was kind of speculated that people with multiple drug allergies shouldn't take it, but that is not true. You know, there we find it to be no increased risk than anyone else. We think that it may be something mixed with a vaccine called PEG or polyethylene glycol, which is kind of a preservative stabilizer, may be the thing. I've been in practice for a while. I have never seen anybody have a reaction to PEG. Okay, but it's possible, anything you put in your body, but it's very uncommon that anybody would have a reaction to PEG or known a reaction to vaccine, probably needs to talk to their doctor about that. It doesn't preclude you from getting the vaccine, but you may want to wait 30 minutes. And also, if you have allergies to food or medication, that doesn't put you at increased risk.
So, if I can amplify Ben, we'll call you Dr. Close, but it's really Ben.
You
if we can amplify what Ben just said, you know, he is an expert in allergy and immunology, top flight, by the way. And so that's what he deals with is allergic reactions and significance of allergic reactions. So he's come from a place where he does have a lot of experience in these types of issues. So interestingly, if I can just cut in and tell this story. So my mother's 84, she got her first one yesterday. And they had this deal where cars were lined up one after one, and you drive by somebody, you stick your arm through the window, and somebody puts a shot in you.
Wow.
And then they drive to a remote place in this big parking lot, and they wait for 15 minutes. And then somebody knocks on the window and says, do you feel okay? And if there's no evidence of any kind of allergic reaction, people drive off. So, you know, the logistics of getting this vaccine out there, we're going to try to, you know, immunize everybody in this country, or at least, I don't know, at least every adult or whatever. It's never been attempted before. It's never been tried to get this many people this vaccination this fast.
Yeah. So,
what do you think? Are you optimistic that even though we're having kind of a slow rollout right now, are you optimistic as time moves on that will kind of exponentially improve and we'll get better with that and learn? What's your level of concern with that?
I think the logistics, it's incredible. I mean, again, you're trying to give, so I heard today or read today, something like 20 million doses have been produced in the United States for use in the United States. And now I don't want to start making up numbers, but, you know, maybe a fourth of them have been administered. But I mean, like, for instance, my elderly parents, I said, how are they going to know when it's time for them to go? I mean, you know, where would they go when this is going to, and they're, you know, and they're educated people. I mean, there's a whole lot of people in this country who don't have an email or don't maybe watch the news or maybe not know that much that's going on. So, I think the fact that so few doses have been given is maybe not necessarily that there's incompetence out there, but it's such a difficult task to do that.
Yeah. I'm willing to wait in that line. I'm ready. So, So what are the, and one thing I did want to tell y'all, they are both such incredible doctors. And I can say that about my own dad because he's actually my personal doctor because I have a lot of allergies. But Dr. Gerald's a great doctor. And that's why when I did this, I was like, they know, but they can also break it down for people like us that just want to know the facts because Facebook and social media have made it crazy. And I think that's the biggest issue is that there's so much false information. So one of the biggest questions too was, what are the differences between the different vaccines? I'm not sure which one you've gotten, Dr. Gerald, but I know my dad's probably going to get Pfizer. Here at the university, we have Moderna. And what do you recommend all of them? Or a lot of people are concerned about certain ones. So what is your take on that?
Well, so, I mean, I happen to get the Pfizer. You know, that's what the hospital I worked at or work at received. So it wasn't like you make a choice. It's like, okay, this is what we have. Are you going to take the vaccine? And I did it. So Pfizer and Moderna, and again, we can speak to Ben about this more so than me, are both mRNA vaccines. And there's some other ones I'm told coming down the pipe that act in a different fashion. And so I'm not sure we know right now what's going to be the best or which one is the best. Now, in the initial studies, both for the Pfizer and Moderna, people who had two doses had basically 95% responses from an antibody standpoint, which is phenomenal. That's phenomenal. Now, to put this in perspective, the influenza vaccine is maybe 60 to 70%. Effective in any given year. So this is an potentially amazingly effective vaccinate.
And I completely agree with that. I think it's one of the most astounding breakthroughs in medicine that we've had in 100 years, both the quality of the vaccine, the effectiveness of the vaccine, the rapidity of how it was produced, I think is astounding. And the two vaccines, again, just to amplify what Gerald said, get whatever's in front of you. You know, if the Moderna is available, that's fine. If the Pfizer is fine, because they're both made with the same technology. The issues are more on the front end with who receives the vaccine to give it to somebody. You know, the Pfizer is typically given to hospital people because they have the storage to store it at sub-zero and do all those things. And Moderna doesn't have quite as onerous requirements for shipping and storage. So it's more on that end. But as far as when the patient gets it, just get it.
So take whichever one you get.
Right. And they're both really, really good. Now, I think another thing kind of with what Dr. Foray said, there's some coming down the pipe, the AstraZeneca Oxford vaccine and the J&J, and those are what we call DNA vaccines. These are RNA, DNA. And what happens is there's a common cold virus called the adenovirus, and they hook it onto DNA, and that's how it goes into a cell and, again, makes a spike protein. So it's a different, a little bit different technology. The AstraZeneca vaccine, and I may not have the number exactly right, but it's a fraction of the cost of the Moderna or the Pfizer vaccine, and it doesn't have the temperature storage requirements or anything. So that may be a really exciting vaccine to give to a developing country or to a really large population or something. It may be just much more practical a vaccine to give in that. But again, that's going to be a very effective vaccine, too. I don't know if they quite approach what the RNA vaccines have done, but they're going to be very effective and very adequate for that.
Okay.
Yeah, and what I've read is, you know, so you've got all these different companies developing these vaccines, and China has their own vaccine, and I think India is starting to put one out. They developed on the market as well. And what I've read, which is kind of interesting, you know, we kind of think, well, which one's going to be the best? Which one's going to be the go-to? Well, there's so many people in this world to vaccinate, there's probably room for all of them. I mean, nobody's ever attempted to vaccinate every adult in this world, okay? It's unprecedented. So, you know, there may be a ton of vaccines out there. Hopefully, most of them work well. The initial data for the ones that are being distributed in the United States is actually very positive in terms of antibody production.
Perfect.
And the thing, too, is the safety is all the same. And 95% effectiveness in a vaccine, as Gerald mentioned, there's only one other vaccine that's ever been given that's been more effective, and that's the measles vaccine. And that was like 98. This is astounding. I mean, it's exciting. And you'll see.
A lot of hope.
Man, that is a great Jeopardy question. Just file that away somewhere. Yeah, the most effective vaccine ever. I love it. I love it.
Measles. Okay.
That might be the only question I get right.
Okay, so real one thing about the vaccine a lot of people were curious about, since you have to have two doses right now with Moderna and Pfizer, is that the same exact shot?
I think it's the same dose.
Okay.
I think so. I'm not, by the way, the disclaimer, I am not by any stretch of the means a vaccine expert, okay? that probably needs to get out there in some form or fashion. But my understanding is it's the same dose. They did test some different doses, and they did determine that you really need to give two doses, because then you go from about being 55 or 60% effective to 95, which, again, is a phenomenal number.
A lot of people, you know, have made the comments, so-and-so got the vaccine and they still got COVID-19, but it does take 2 weeks to get into effect. So I think people need to remember that, you know, you won't be that 95% for 2 weeks, correct?
Ben can speak to the antibody production.
Yeah, don't you think after the second dose, 2 weeks after the second dose, my understanding of this vaccine is you should be protected at the maximum rate. Like you said, about 55% or so, you know, after the first dose. There have been some people, just to get it out, have advocated just give everybody one dose and then, you know, we'll wait until everything. It's certainly, I mean, I'm not a public health expert, but you do get better effectiveness after the second dose. So with that, it approaches 95.
Let me ask y'all. A lot of people are concerned about this new strain. Will the vaccine that they could get now, will that work against the new strain from the UK?
My understanding is yes. Okay. And again, this is a new strain. We're still learning tons about it. But all the information that I've been able to see, and that people that are smarter than I am have produced, is that the vaccine should be effective with that. Are you seeing an uptick? I think Louisiana, Gerald, is we're really in a big spike, from my understanding. Do you see that at your hospital? And in your experience, do you, or taking care of this, do you think you attribute this to this virus changing? I think with the other answer, you thought it may be things have changed about it. What do you think?
I don't think there's any question we're seeing another spike. Yeah. And I think the statistics show that statewide. And, you know, there's theories about, well, everybody got together at Christmas and this and that and the other. You know, this new strain, which is much more communicable. So very few places in America test for what type of SARS-2 virus this is. And does the genomics on it? Actually, does the DNA sequencing and can say, oh, wait, yeah, they had a change in DNA in this particular virus in this person. So, I mean, there's a really good chance, in my opinion, this virus may be widespread in this country, which not to be a fearmonger, but I think it emphasizes why we have to do the safe things. We have to continue to do the things we should be doing anyway, the mass, the social distancing, the avoiding crowds, all of those things, because if this virus now all at once can spread faster, it may not make people more sick on a percentage basis, but it spreads faster, then now we've got, you know, we're going to have more cases just by the numbers.
Yeah. Well, let me ask y'all this. So a lot of people have said, I'm not getting this vaccine. I'm scared, or I don't know what it's going to do to my body. Do y'all think the large number of people not getting the vaccine would hinder progress in the country getting back to normal?
Yes, the short answer.
I think unequivocally with people. So in my view, you get the vaccine for three reasons. Number one, to protect yourself. Number two, say you were a young person like Tori, you do it to protect yourself, but you also do it to protect your family.
Amen.
and people that you are around that are older.
Yes.
And number three, you know, if you happen to be this person out there and you say, gosh, I want to do something about this terrible disease. I want to help this country. I don't know how I can help it. I'm not in medicine. Well, the way you can help it is to get the vaccine. Because once we have enough people in this country that have antibodies, this disease becomes much harder to spread.
How much percentage do you think will need to get it?
Yeah, Ben, she's asking about what herd immunity, right?
I think 70% of people, I think, you have to have antibodies from some source, whether you've had the infection or the vaccine. My question is, you know, with the vaccine being that effective, is that number lower? I mean, I don't know. I don't think anybody knows the number, but what I'm seeing, what I'm reading is about 70%. What do you think? 70?
So it's a little bit out of my wheelhouse, okay? I'm not the immunologist, but I mean, just what I've read, really, mainly, from what I think I heard Dr. Fauci say, you know, if we're not hitting 70 to 80% of people immunized, this thing's going to continue to spread. And that would really be, I think, a tragedy in this country, is that we have to continue to live this way. And then ultimately people die just because people refuse to take the vaccine. I think it would be a tragedy.
Travesty.
There is a solution. Yeah. So this has been the biggest topic that my listeners want to know about. I had an unreal amount of questions on this topic. So a lot of women are very concerned about what it could do to their body as far as infertility, as far as pregnancy. So if y'all will really talk about that, I think that's going to ease a lot of people's fear. So does the vaccine cause infertility? And y'all, I'm here with you. I want to be a mom. I want to have a baby. Does it cause infertility or affects to the reproductive system?
The American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology says this should be administered to women regardless of their pregnancy status or lactating status. In other words, if you're pregnant or not, if you're breastfeeding or not. So that's about as succinct and short a statement. Here's the thing. You know, in pregnant women, it's hard to do a study with it. It's hard to capture a lot of people. So we have to make a lot of assumptions based on immunology and how these vaccines work and how antibodies cross the placenta and how they are transmitted through breast milk. We know those things can be transmitted, but they're not bad things. The other side of this coin is this disease can be devastating to pregnant women and the fetus. We do know that. So with the knowledge that we have that vaccines in general are generally safe, and this technology is generally safe, and given the risk of having this when you're pregnant or going to become pregnant, it's recommended to get the vaccine. I'll give you the disclaimer. This is something, and what we hope all patients do, rather than choose not to get the vaccine or have questions, talk to their physician. I mean, it's just, this is a great opportunity to have a good sit down with that. Gerald, I haven't heard anything about fertility at all with this, how it influences. I don't know mechanistically.
No,
I don't think anybody, I think it would be advantageous if somebody even were considering fertility to get it. You know, I think the infection can be devastating to somebody.
From a dad's perspective, what would you both tell your daughters to do?
My daughter's going to take it.
Well, your daughter probably listens better than my daughter, but I will strongly recommend it.
Yes.
There we go.
Yeah. So that's everyone's questions, you know, about, you know, pregnancy. So basically, y'all, pregnant, planning to become pregnant, you're more likely to have a complication with COVID than with getting a vaccine.
And again, since that was important, I'm sorry, Tori, just to emphasize this.
That was our like number one question.
It's especially important in pregnant women. And we don't want to be dismissive about the safety and any concerns about the fetus, because it's hugely, no one can guarantee the safety of anything that you put in your body. If somebody does, walk out. But we do have data about safety and things. It's just, I could not recommend it higher to anybody, especially pregnant, lactating women.
Mic drop. Is it still important to get the vaccine if you're a low-risk patient? I think you answered that when you said it's about other people. That's kind of how I feel with the vaccine. I mean, I want to get it to protect a future baby, hopefully, but also I want to be able to protect my grandparents, to protect my parents, to protect the people I work with, and all of that.
So what I would say is low risk is not the same thing as no risk, okay?
Yes, yes.
I don't think there's any question that the older you are, the higher your risk is in this disease. However, unfortunately and tragically, not my patients, I do happen to know of a 26-year-old father that died in Baton Rouge. I do happen to know of a 28-year-old woman who died in Shreveport from Alexandria, our hometown. And so it does happen. It is rare, thank goodness. But I would just say low risk does not equal no risk.
Agreed. A lot of people are kind of concerned about the vaccine coming out so quickly and the potentially not as much research and over periods of time. So why do you feel that it came out so quickly? Like, to me, I'm excited that it's out so quickly, but I can see where people are concerned with that. So how do you think it came out so fast?
Well, the reason it came out, had a lot of money on it. You had a very urgent situation. And most vaccines and most medicines are, you start from a point, you get to another point, then you get to another phase, and it depends on money. It depends on being on the bottom of someone's desk and going through bureaucracy. So it's one step after another step, okay? One behind the other. With this vaccine, because it is urgent, because there is a lot of money, I hate to say that, and it was done concurrently. A lot of these steps, the same steps were being done, but they were being done concurrently. So if people, it was amazingly fast, but it wasn't a shortcut.
Yes.
So all these steps were done. And interestingly, I don't think there have been very many things as scrutinized as these things either. So I feel very good about the steps that they've taken.
So, Dad, I know, you know, you've had COVID-19. So do you feel that people should still get the vaccine if they've already had the disease?
I do. I think it depends. We just don't know how long these antibodies last, or my antibodies will last. We're hopeful that it lasts several months, but you just don't know. And again, the immunity is a better immunity, if you will, from the vaccine, and we feel probably is a longer lasting immunity from the vaccine.
So you can you still spread the virus with the vaccine?
You know, I think the Moderna vaccine had studies about, it was the one that reduced transmissibility the most. I don't think those studies were done as much with Pfizer. I can't imagine that it's not, but I don't think they have the data that Moderna does. I would guess that it probably does with both. Moderna has more of the studies that show it does reduce that. Gerald, do you have any information?
Yeah, I don't know that we know the answer to that yet. You know, it's...
But if both of us have the vaccine, we're less likely to get it.
Amen.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, that's certainly the current thinking. Certainly the current thinking. So, I mean, let's hope they work as well as we anticipate them working.
So thank you for answering those questions. So I have some myths people sent in that they wanted y'all to let them know if the myth is true or false. Or
we're like Mythbusters now.
Mythbusters. Let's
here we go.
So number one, if you get the vaccine, you only have 2-month immunity.
Hit it, Torrey.
You know, I would say we think that's a myth. Again, we don't really have the data for how long, as far as I know, antibody response is going to last. We think that's a big deal, but we just don't know at this point in time.
So you have a 10 to 15% reaction rate when you get the vaccine.
10 to 50?
Yeah.
That's really high. That's really high. I would tell you, so Cabrini Hospital in Alexandria sent out an email 2 days ago at that time, or maybe a week ago, they administered 250 vaccinations with zero reaction in the first 250 they administered.
I love that. But
yeah, 10 to 50 is really high. Yeah.
Another myth, next Mythbuster. You have increased HIV risk if you get the vaccine.
Myth.
You can get Bell's palsy with the vaccine.
Yes, but I'd be interested in see what Gerald says about this. But when I looked at that, it was in the trials. They had, I think, three or four in each one. You have to think there are tens of thousands of people in this trial. What I don't know, and I'm sure it's out there, I don't know how many got Bell's palsy in the placebo group. You know, so it's not, you can't say, and I think what your listeners, just because it happened doesn't mean it was caused by it.
Yeah, I like that.
It doesn't. Jerry, what do you think?
You know, I did read somewhere where there are a few cases of Bell's palsy. So Bell's palsy, for the listeners, is usually rarely permanent, usually a transient weakness of the facial nerve where you get a facial droop, you drool, and you can't close your eyelid, all of which are uncomfortable and disturbing symptoms, but it usually goes away after a few weeks. And it doesn't have any long-standing effects. Now, if you have 3 or 4 people that have this out of 30,000, the question is, like Ben says, is it causal? Did the vaccine cause this, or were 3 or 4 people going to get it anyway? And it just happened to be the ones that got the vaccine. So we really don't know that. I think, again, what are we trying to do? We're trying to end a pandemic. We're trying to start saving people's lives. Yeah. And so everything we do in medicine is what we call risk versus benefit. So if I think if I give you a vaccine or give 1,000 people a vaccine and consequently some lives will be saved and may end the pandemic faster versus maybe one person getting Bell's palsy, most rational people would say, yeah, you know, those are pretty good odds. We should go with the vaccine.
So I'm going to have an anaphylaxis reaction is the next method.
Now I'm going to send you to Dr. Close immediately.
you will likely not. The if you've had a reaction to a vaccine like we talked about, you should wait a few more minutes. That's unclear. We think that reaction rate's very low. It's less of a chance they have anaphylaxis to that, much less than allergy shots I give people, right? And you get
it. Yeah, I get them every week. The next one is you still have to wear a mask.
Yeah.
You mean once you've had the vaccine or in general people should still wear a mask or what specifically is the question?
So once you have the vaccine, you still have to wear a mask.
I would say absolutely. Because, okay, we have theories how well these vaccines are going to work, and we may even have theories how long we think they're going to work, but we really don't know yet. We really don't know yet. And I mean, the only thing until this pandemic is under control is to continue to do the things we should do to be safe and to protect other people.
I couldn't agree more. I just think we can't stop doing those things until it absolutely is under control. I agree with that.
So the next myth, it's a pharma moneymaker.
You know, I hope it is.
Yeah, I don't. So this is what I would say. They have data there that has been analyzed closely by the FDA that is strong data in favor of this being a legitimate vaccine. So, I will never know the details. I think the U.S. government appropriately so threw bazillions of dollars at Big Pharma. And I'm not a Big Pharma apologist, by the way. There's some things about Big Pharma I am not a huge fan of, okay? But in this case, having a vaccine this soon in an illness this serious that has affected this country, I think is quite an accomplishment.
Yeah, I like that.
And I agree. I would agree. I don't agree with everything Big Pharma does either. But in Big Pharma's defense, they stepped up with the vaccine and came to it. And I don't know. They're not doing. I don't think the profit margin for this that I've heard is knock your socks off. With that, I'm not aware of that. And somebody said that one of the pharmaceutical companies actually was doing it for no profit. I can't imagine that. I really think Big Pharma, I agree with Dr. Foray, stepped up to the plate. I think that there's some.
Okay, so I don't even know if y'all know what this is, but some women are concerned that they've heard it's bad for women that get fillers, which are these like needles you put in your face to kind of like make you look good. So would you say that that girl can get it?
Well, your listeners need that. We can see you. And Tori was describing that. She was actually like pinching her forehead like she was getting a filler, you know. I like that. I hope you didn't get it.
No, I don't get fillers.
Do y'all get daddy daughter moment?
I should. But I thought about it. But do y'all think that woman would be?
Have you heard this before?
No, I've never heard this, and I can't imagine. I cannot imagine how those two things would be related in any way.
And there's really not. But Moderna's vaccine and some facial fillers, they have like this little immune reaction in the bite of the filler. And it was minor, and it went away like in a day with Benadryl and prednisone. Mm. You can't explain it. There's an immune reaction called an itchy. But in a few women with a filler, just with Moderna, why did it do that and not Pfizer? And is there, again, causality? I can't explain the relationship with it. But
Well, maybe I'll go get fillers and try it out. So maybe this we might use to get fillers to be the tester.
Yeah, be the tester.
Or get my vaccine. Okay, so last MythBuster. This vaccine's going to change my DNA.
No.
Close. What do you think about that? Going to change your DNA?
No.
Will it convert you into a coronavirus?
I was hoping it would change, you know, my writing skills or no, it doesn't. And it doesn't get incorporated into the nucleus of the cell. And so it's not going to change. In fact, when the mRNA that makes the spike protein finishes what it does, that there are substances in the cell that zap it, and they actually just neutralize it and make it waste product. So no, it makes it, dies, and gets, does its thing. So it does not change, not change the DNA itself.
So I appreciate y'all's time so much. Y'all are busy men, working, doing your thing. I appreciate y'all and your brilliance and your information. So one last thing, I want just y'all's last minute overall recommendation about the vaccine and anything else that you think people need to know as they're making this decision.
Well, here's what I want to go first, because the reason I want to go first is I want to thank Dr. Foray for doing this.
Woo!
He added tremendous insight into this, and it's always, and I was selfish with it. I said, this gives me a chance to talk a little medicine with my friends, so which I really enjoyed with it. And then Tori, I just, the second reason I wanted to go first is to congratulate you.
Thank
for
you.
Picking a good and timely topic and really caring about your listeners enough to make sure they got what they need. And again, like Dr. Foray said, you know, we are two guys, we're not published with this, you know, we're not vaccine experts, but you know, we take care of patients and we hear what their concerns are. And Dr. Foray has experience actually with the disease and seeing what it does with people, that we enjoy talking about it. So hopefully this gives one or two tidbits. And if it encourages one person that, well, I'm going to get the vaccine to get it, then that'll be a good thing.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for your kind words. What I would say is first of all, Tori, a shout out to you. This was, you know, the little kid raised down the street. Now you're such this young, impressive young lady. You're so intelligent. I am, you know, think the world of you. Congratulations. And thanks for letting me take part in this. This has been a lot of fun. Got to hang with my boy Ben a little longer, and we have had discussions like this. How to handle this patient? What do you think about this? What do you think about, what would you do in this situation on a mountain bike in the woods? And it's been a lot of fun. We talk about other things too, by the way, but not just. I mean, we're just half nerds. What's that?
We cannot mention on the podcast. It's
that's right. There's some things you don't talk about that occur in the woods. But anyway, but seriously, guys, I mean, you guys are both great, wonderful. Ben, one of my dear friends in the world. Tori, I'm so proud of you. Thank you for letting me be a part of this.
Okay, Gerald, we have not on the podcast had an appearance from Louie, the dog.
Louie!
Yeah.
I had that. Gosh, bring in Louie. Your grand dog. This is their only grandchild.
Gerald.
Hey.
Thing that you know, you're not aware of this, and I didn't want to tell you beforehand, you may not have done it, that a lot of this audience, Auburn people.
What?
Actually, okay.
We need to end this podcast.
I want y'all to answer the question I ask everyone. Josh had to do this when I interviewed him. We'll keep it really brief because I have stuff to do. So what I was gonna say is, here's Louie. He's here. He got a haircut today. He looks ridiculous. But anyways, so this is the question I ask everyone. Tell us three of your current favorites, must-haves, recommendations, all the people need to know about. This can literally be anything from your favorite drink, clothing, your new workout you love, your TV show, a recipe, a podcast, a medical thing you love?
So, no forewarning, no forewarning. This is like pop up right now. It's like, get on your car, think about this. I'm gonna go really old school here. There is a mini series called War and Remembrance. Okay. Oh, no, I'm sorry. The Winds of War, 80s miniseries. Before miniseries were popular, it's on YouTube. Okay, and it's about 8 or 9 episodes, and it's a historical novel put into on the screen about a family in the day in the months leading up to World War II. Okay. And Robert Mitchum was the star. I'm some of World War II buff, so to me it was fabulous. All right, Ben, why don't you give him a shout out to whatever?
I love it. That was a great one.
My favorite podcast is Talk with Tori. And my other podcast, it's called Hey Fightin' Podcast. That's LSU.
Really?
I'm doing this Netflix thing, but I like Tori. I'm a World War II buff too. I'm going to look at that. But I'm doing Designated Survivor.
So good. So good. I got them into that.
That's good. Okay.
So, and then my guy, Bruce Odell, I'll give a shout out. Has me doing this kind of interval thing on the elliptical and bike in the gym. That's really been helpful.
Oh.
Awesome.
And Dr. Gerald didn't tell y'all, he is into seltzer waters now, what I'm into. If you're not into seltzer waters, you need to get into it, because that's something. And I agree with miniseries. I think miniseries are so underrated. Josh and I love a good miniseries because it's something you can get through, you can get in, a lot happens, and it's not like you have 70,000 episodes where you can't ever finish it. So I appreciate it. But Dad, how do you want to end this episode?
Okay, we have to on 3. 1, 2, 3. Go Tigers.
Go Tigers.
Go Tigers.
Go Tigers. Go Tigers. Go Tigers.
Well, thank y'all. I appreciate y'all more than you know taking your time to do this. I know this is going to help so many people across the country and world. And hopefully one person at a time, we beat this virus. One person getting the vaccine at a time. So I appreciate
Thanks again, y'all. Tori. Thank you so much.
If our episode today touched you, inspired you, or brought you some good laughs, we would be honored if you subscribed to the Talk with Tori podcast and left us a quick review. This will give others who are scrolling through the podcast apps the ability to find us. Please share this with all the people in your life so more friends can hear our stories. Thank you for tuning in, and we hope this episode brought you joy, love, and spice.